Lady Ori, does it please you to stand beside those who let your father die? Once those words would have bothered me, but now I knew better. You misunderstood, Lady Cerimon. My father didn't die because of the Night Lord, or the Lady, or the Godlings, or anyone who supports them. He died because he was different. Something ordinary mortals hate and fear. I sighed. With reason, I'll admit. But give credit where credit is due. She shook her head and sighed. You trust these false gods too much. No, I said, growing angry. Not just angry, but furious, incandescent with rage. If I'd had a walking stick, there would have been trouble. I trust the gods to be what they are, and I trust mortals to be mortals. Mortals, Lady Cerimon stoned my father to death. Mortals trust me up like livestock and milked me of blood until I nearly died. Mortals killed my love. I was very proud of myself. My throat did not close and my voice did not waver. The anger buoyed me that far. Hells, if the gods do decide to wipe us out, is it such a bad thing? Maybe we've earned a little annihilation. At that, I couldn't help looking at Lord Tavril, too. He ignored me, sounding bored when he spoke. Cerimon, stop toying with the girl. This rhetoric might have swayed your poor, lost spiritual devotees, but everyone here sees through you. He gestured at her, a graceful hand wave encompassing all that she was. What you may not understand, Eru Shoth, is that this whole affair is a family squabble gotten out of hand. I must have looked confused. Family squabble? I am a mere half-blood, you see, the first who has ever ruled this family. And though I was appointed to this position by the Grey Lady herself, there are those of my relatives, particularly the full-bloods, who still question my qualifications. Foolishly, I counted Cerimon among the less dangerous of those. I even believe she might be useful, since her organization seemed to give direction to those members of the Etempan faith who have been disillusioned lately. I could not see him glance at Shiny, but I guessed that he did. I did not believe they could do true harm. For this, you have my apologies. I stiffened in surprise. I knew nothing of nobles or Aramari, but I knew this. They did not apologize. Ever. Even after the destruction of the Morrowland, they had offered the Nemero Peninsula to my people as a humanitarian gesture, not an apology. Cerimon shook her head. Descartes appointed you his heir only under duress, Tavril. Ordinarily, you'd do well enough, half-blood or not. But in these dark times, we need a family head strong in the old values, someone who will not waver from devotion to our lord. You lack the pride of our heritage. I felt the Lord Aramari smile, because it was a brittle, dangerous thing, and the whole room felt less safe for it. Have you anything else to say? He asked. Anything worthy of my time? No, she replied. Nothing worthy of you. Very well, said the Lord Aramari. He snapped his fingers, and a servant appeared from the curtain behind Tavril's seat. He crouched beside Tavril's chair, holding something. There was a faint clink of metal. Tavril did not take it, and I could not see what it was. I did, however, see Saruman's flinch. This man, said the Lord Aramari. He gestured toward Shiny. You left Sky before the last succession. Do you know him? Cerimon glanced at Shiny, then away. We were never able to determine what he was, she said. But he is the Lady Ori's companion and perhaps lover. He had no value to us, except as a hostage against her good behavior. Look again, cousin. She looked, radiating disdain. Is there something I should be seeing? I reached for Shiny's hand. He had not moved, did not seem to care at all. The Lord Aramari rose and descended the steps. At the foot of the steps, he abruptly turned toward us in a swirl of cloak and hair and dropped to one knee, with a grace I would never have expected of a man so powerful. From this, he said in a ringing tone, Behold our Lord, Cerimon. Hail Etempus, Master of Day, Lord of Light and Order. Cerimon stared at him. Then she looked at Shiny. There had been no sarcasm in Tavril's tone, no hint of anything other than reverence. Yet I could guess what she saw when she looked at Shiny. The soul-deep weariness in his eyes, the sorrow beneath his apathy. He wore borrowed clothing as I did, and said nothing at Tavril's bow. "He's Morona," Cerimon said, after a long perusal. Tavril got to his feet, flicking his long tail of hair back with practiced ease.
"That is a bit of a surprise, isn't it?"
Though it would not be the first lie our family has told until it forgot the truth. He turned and went to her, stopping right in front of her. She did not step back from his nearness, though I would have. There was something about the Lord Aramarian that moment that made me very afraid. "You knew he had been overthrown, Cerimon," he said. "You've seen many gods take mortal form. Why did it never occur to you that your own god might be among them? Hado tells me that your new lights were not kind to him."
"No,"
Cerimon said. Her strong, rich voice wavered with uncertainty for the first time since I'd met her.
"That's impossible. I would have... We would have...
known." Tavril glanced back at the servant, who hurried forward with the metal object. He took it and said, "I suppose your pure Aramary blood doesn't entitle you to speak for our god after all. Just as well, then. Hold her mouth open." I didn't realize the last part was a command until the guard suddenly took hold of Cerimon. There was a struggle, a jumble of silhouettes. When they stilled, I realized the guards had taken hold of Saruman's head. Tavril lifted the metal object so that I could see it at last, outlined by the glow of the far wall.